So we're about three quarters of the way through our Jubilee year of celebrating the 800th anniversary of the Dominican Order. To put 800 years into perspective, that's three times longer than our country has been around. So what allows a movement started in 1216 by a Spaniard to continue 800 years later, to continue to call people to embrace this way of life? A week ago, six young men took the habit, and Brother Chrysostom is with us in his formation. So what is it? What is at the center of this life that calls people 800 years later? Well, we have the four pillars of Dominican spirituality. The four pillars are prayer, study, common life, and preaching. So as I've been talking about the past couple of weeks, I'm going to do a little mission the next 4 weekends talking about each of these pillars. So I want to start with prayer, because that's what brought me back into this relationship with God. Now, when I was growing up, unfortunately, in school, you studied to do well on a standardized test, to get into a good college, to get a good job. So growing up, the love of study or just studying for itself wasn't really instituted or implemented into me. And I was a bit of a punk, so I take some, you know, responsibility there too. But I always saw study as like, you know what, it's a means to an end and not something that's good in and of itself. At church, this was, you know, the end of the 70s, early 80s, after Vatican II, there was lots of experimentation going on, especially in the world of catechesis. So there was lots of finger painting and collages and talking about our feelings, but not a lot of substance there to really understand, to go deeper into what our faith has to offer. In my college and high school days, like the prodigal son, the ways of the world kind of pulled me away from God and faith. And then after college, I started working. I wanted to be a millionaire. That's how old I am. I wanted to be a millionaire, not a billionaire, a millionaire, right? Gosh, I'm getting old, right? I wanted to be a millionaire, so I worked around the clock. And then when I wasn't working, I was out playing and having all kinds of wonderful fun. So study was never an integral part of my life. This changed when I started to come back to the faith as an adult. That came back when I was asked to be a sponsor of a young man who wanted to become Catholic, and I had to start attending catechism classes with him, these RCIA classes. And it was at the Arizona State University, the Dominicans ran it, and it was a really good program. Maybe I was a little bit older now and ready to listen, but the classes I started going to really had substance. I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. Started learning about God and asking those bigger questions. Who is God? Who am I? The meaning of life. I was like, all right, I can hang with this Catholic stuff. Then the group said, you know what? In a few weeks, we want you, me, to give a presentation to this group. I'm like, what, are you kidding me? Like, what do I know? But I was like, okay. So I went to the church library. I got on the internet. This is before Google. Started to find all this information online. And I put together a presentation. So time comes. I'm terrified. I'm like, oh. So I get up there. And I wish I could remember the topic was. I can't. But I give this presentation. And when it's over, absolute silence in the room. I'm like, uh-oh. Then one hand kind of sheepishly goes up and a question, then another hand. We have this wonderful, wonderful conversation about the topic that I had presented. So when we were done, one of the more seasoned catechists said, wow, I didn't know you knew so much about the faith. I'm like, I don't. You gave me a topic, I researched it, and I gave a presentation. Like, a monkey can do that, right? You know, I was like, that's not difficult. So I knew a little bit about the topic you'd given me, but the rest of the faith, I knew absolutely nothing about. Now, at this time in the work world, God sent little evangelists to me. So people started to hear, like I was coming back to my faith. Oh, what'd you do this weekend? I went to church. So the big, you know, scarlet letter, C for Catholic, was on my forehead, right? And all of a sudden, I had coworkers who were evangelicals and Bible Christians and Mormons all started to want to ask me questions about my faith, right? Kind of test me to see if they can kind of pull one away from the flock. Now, at this point, I wasn't a very good Catholic, but as far as knowing my faith, but, you know, I was still Catholic. So when they started to attack Holy Mother Church, my Irish came up, and I'm like, oh, yeah? Let me go do some homework and get back to you. And I did. So they would ask me questions or they would challenge me. And I'm like, I don't know. So I'd go to the library at the church. I'd jump on the internet, talk to my priest, talk to my friends. And eventually I'd come back. Remember you asked me a couple days ago, like, you know, if Catholics worship statues? Well, we don't. The difference between an icon and idol, and broke the whole thing down for them. They're like, well, okay, this guy has answers, right? And it's interesting because what they were trying to do was get me to become whatever faith or denomination they were. What they ended up doing was making me a much better Catholic, right? Because I was forced to explain the faith. I was forced to teach the faith. And if any of you have taught, you know a topic when you can explain it and you can teach it to somebody else. So their efforts to evangelize me did evangelize me, and I became, you know, Captain Catholic, right? You know what I mean? So anyway. And what I found happened was that there were sort of two beautiful quotes that kind of summed up the reality that was going on. The first one was by John Henry Cardinal Newman. He was a Protestant man, a priest in the Anglican Church, and he was at Oxford University, and all these brainiacs got together and said, you know what? Let's strip away all this man-made stuff that has creeped into Christianity, and let's get back to the true Christian faith. So they went back to the scriptures, they went back to the early church fathers, they went back, and all of a sudden he went, uh-oh. Those Catholics actually are the church that I need to belong to. And he actually ended up becoming a Catholic and become a bishop and a cardinal and work his way up the ladder there. And he has a wonderful quote talking about his conversion to the Catholic faith. He says, to be deep in history is to cease to be a Protestant. And I've talked to lots of Protestant converts to the faith, the Catholic faith, and they said that's what happened. When they went back and started reading the documents from the early Christians, they started to understand, these aren't medieval inventions that, you know, this big church, the Catholic Church, put in there. Christians from the very beginning have been doing these practices. The other quote is from Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Anybody remember seeing him on TV? Right? He had those penetrating stare. You were like, if you haven't seen him, go on YouTube. They're wonderful. He writes, he says, quote, there are not 100 people in America who hate the Catholic Church. There are millions of people who hate what they wrongly believe to be the Catholic Church, which is, of course, quite a different thing. Now, people will come and talk to me or on airplanes or cousins or at parties, and it's just like, I got a question. I don't really disagree. I disagree with the faith, or I don't understand this part about what Catholics believe. I'm like, okay, well, what do you think we believe? And they kind of lay out what they believe, and I'm like, well, close, but no cigar. Let's make some distinctions. Let's bring some other stuff in. And a lot of times, they're like, that makes sense. Or, maybe I do agree with what you as a Catholic believe. So these experiences helped me to see that study was a wonderful thing and should be part of my life. I wasn't studying to advance my career or to make more money or get a better score on a test or anything like that. But the study started to wake up a part of my spiritual life, started to force me to ask those beautiful questions, started to instruct me about who I was as a Catholic Christian. Then I had my epiphany moment, and it all started to come together. I started to see, okay, so my faith life, my spiritual life, my moral life, and my work life, all these things have to come together under the umbrella of my faith. Because I started thinking about it, if part of my body fails, so if my liver fails, if I don't get a transplant, my body fails, the whole thing. I can't survive without that very vital organ. Well, the same thing in my faith life. All aspects of my life have to work together. They have to integrate nicely. Because if one of them is dead, well, then the whole spirituality will, in fact, die. So either I was alive in Jesus Christ or I wasn't. So my study continued, first as a layperson and eventually into, you know, seminary and today. And it really started to make the scriptures come alive for me. So today's first reading, we have the golden calf incident. Now, before you can have a false god, there has to be a true God, right? So Adam and Eve, book of Genesis, chapter 3, God creates our first parents. And we can see through the scriptures the descendants that's coming down. This person begot this person, this begot this person. And if we get to it, we look at Luke chapter 3. He's got a very concise genealogy and shows us how we go to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, mentioned in today's first reading. And genealogies can be kind of boring to read, but they're very insightful. So, for instance, on Thursday, our 5th and 6th graders were here at Mass, at the 8:15 Mass, and I read Matthew's genealogy, you know, the one that's like this long, that takes like 4 hours to read. And I was going to see what I can get out of them. We do like question and answer. So when I was done reading, I said, what did you guys think of today's gospel? And I was ready for, it was boring. Oh, it was so long, right? But one guy sitting right in like third row, that lady is right there, 6th grader, I can see the wheels turning, and raise his hand. He's kind of a wise guy, that's why I like him. But he was very serious this time. He says, you know what? I never realized how many ancestors I have. And I was like, perfect. The scriptures had become alive to him. These weren't just names in a book. These were your ancestors, your great grandfather to the 4 billionth power, whatever it is, right? And he started to see the scriptures had meaning to him. And that, yes, this informs who I am. The same thing happened to me. Growing up, most of my family was in Ireland, right? I have 21 aunts and uncles, and I have 72 first cousins. But we'd see each other every, I don't know, 5 years and 10 years, whatever. So I didn't really, I mean, they're my family, obviously, I like them, but we didn't have that interaction. But when I started coming back and reading the scriptures and understanding God, I thought, huh, I'm part of an incredible family. Not just the Cudden clan, you know, but the family of God. All who profess to believe in Jesus Christ. And this was a beautiful awakening for me that led me to go deeper and deeper and deeper to understand who Abraham, Isaac, and Israel were, but then following that trajectory to Christ and understanding who he is in my life. Now, during this journey, I was coming back, and also I started to realize, okay, talking early about all the different pieces, well, the moral life. Started to realize, you know what? Like the prodigal son, I had squandered a lot of the gifts that God had given me. I squandered my beautiful sonship with God for a life, I love in the scriptures, of dissipation. And I started to realize, you know what? All of it has to be part of God's plan. And then from today's second reading, a beautiful line jumped up of me today. In the letter to Timothy, it says, I have been mercifully treated because I acted out of ignorance in my unbelief. Now, when I walked away from the church, it wasn't like I hate God or I became a militant atheist or I preached against. I just didn't care, right? So there was sort of an ignorance, like there's some stuff I should have known. There's other stuff that maybe we could have talked about more at church or at the home, whatever. And I think that's where God was that father that we see in today's gospel. I had that, you know, hanging out with swines and longing for something to eat, right? And I said, you know what? There's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way than the life I'm living right now. And I started my journey back to God. And God came running towards me and put his arm around me and pulled me back in. Now, it didn't happen overnight. As you've heard in my story, it took years. There was no quick fix or pill that I could pop and like, woohoo, I'm Catholic, right? It took time. It took time to really get involved with the scriptures, to get involved with the faith, to get involved with to say, okay, this is what we truly believe. And this is what woke up that beautiful part of the Dominican spirituality, that study pillar that we all need to have in our lives. So each of the pillars, we're going to have an action step for all of us to do. And as you can imagine, we're talking about study. So the action step is going to be to make a commitment to study. Now, we're not going to get a PhD. If you want to get a PhD, go for it. But I'm not asking us to get PhDs. I'm asking us to take a few minutes every day, maybe like an hour or two every week, just to sit with the scriptures, with spiritual books, with movies, whatever it is, something just to kind of enliven and awaken that beautiful part of our lives. Now, as a parish, we found a very cool way to do this. There's a wonderful project called formed.org. All the information is in the bulletin, but I'm going to talk a little bit right now. So when you go to formed.org, you sign up, it's free. And then what happens is there's this incredible library in, I don't know, I guess it's in heaven and God sends it down to us. I don't know how the internet works, but there's this huge depository somewhere up there in a cloud. And what happens is there are ebooks, there are DVD series, there are wonderful movies that you just click the button and it comes down. The other day, about a week ago, I was sick. I was lying in my bed and I was like, huh, took out my tablet. Huh, Joan of Arc. Clicked it, watched the Joan of Arc movie, like just lying in my bed. I was like, it's kind of cool. So there's all this stuff at our fingertips that we're going to make available to you. So you can bring it down to your computer, your tablet, your smartphone. If you don't have any of those things, we'll try to, you know, get something to bring to your cave that you can watch or read. No, just kidding. We will still have stuff here at the parish, you know, speakers and video series live here. So, but please, please go online and check out this wonderful program. I mean, if you got 10 minutes to kill at the doctor's office, take out your phone, maybe do a little reading, spiritual reading, maybe watch a little clip, whatever's out there, because this is a wonderful opportunity for us to really kind of delve deeper into our faith. So for me, study was the start. It was the start of my return to God, but it wasn't the end, right? That intellectual part of the faith then started to waken up the spiritual part. And that's where prayer came in. When I joined the Dominicans, that's when the prayer life really started to help for me. And next week we'll be talking about that, talking about how we take what we know and bring it into what we feel, what we understand, and have that wonderful interplay with God in our prayer life. So that's coming attractions for next week. So please, again, go online and sign up for the forum.org and start reading and learning and just wonderful program that we have for you. Thanks.